Kenzo, it's sushi in Chile. Before I start talking about my rapture experience, sometimes I was out of money. While walking on the street, a boy dropped his bag on the floor. It contained a lot of money. I took his bag, ran to him and handed it back to him. Even if the bag only had a dollar, I would still deliver back to him. The money is not mine and belongs to another person. It will become mine if the owner of the money gives me. The other day I went to the market, bought some things, and when I went to pay, the girl gave me the extra change. I said, "Girl, this is the wrong change," and I returned the rest of the money. All this I have learned with the Holy Spirit. To be fair and honest with people. I became sick and the death demon was circling around my bed. I was terrified while my fever only increased. My wife said, "What are you seeing?" I said, "I see the monster of death. He came to get me. Take care of the children, my day of departure has come. I'm going to die." She answered me, "Stop saying these things, your time has not yet come." I answered, "I do not understand, because there came an angel of God to take me. I see the angel of death. Did I lose my salvation?" She answered me, "Of course not. If you who are a man faithful to God, and are not saved, who of this house will be saved? Maybe this monster will not take you, because God does not allow that. He is just making you afraid." When my wife went to sleep, I bent my knee, rebuked the black angel that was around my bed. He came up to me and touched my body. I felt the hairs on his hands and fingernails. My body froze, my head hurt. It looked like ice was inside him. I fell with my face on the ground, and my spirit left my body. That ice I felt was the ice of death, where the body loses the heat and gets cold. The angel of death took my spirit and carried it to hell. Today I can say, whoever dies without Christ is carried by a lot of black creatures that look like angels. The angel of death is a principality. He commands a legion of black angels looking like shadows. I can say that these demons act as reapers. Their functions are to carry the souls to hell. Millions of these reapers act in the four corners of the world. When I was in hell, I was left there by the prince of death. He is the leader of these reapers. He himself took charge of taking my soul. I felt very afraid of him the way he dragged me. He left me in a dark valley where flames of fire burn people to the bones, but those bones never disintegrate. I felt alone, condemned. A woman I knew walked within those flames. She was forever wandering through hell. A fire burned her body. This woman worked in the same company I had worked for before. She was a merchant. It was sad for me to see her body being consumed. She was naked and had no more throat to scream. Only tears came out of her eyes. Lipsticks. The angel of God came down to me because my hope of salvation was over. I thought to myself that I will stay in that place forever. The angel of the Lord led me into the industrial complex in hell, where I saw demons making lipsticks through the blood of bats from hell. This blood of bats was boiling in the cauldrons of hell. Red bars came out of the cauldrons, and to change the color of the bar, they added something else into the blood-filled cauldrons. The colorings of the lipsticks were different when they added something else. For the lipstick to turn black, hellish vultures were added inside the cauldrons to give the purple color, snakes were added in the cauldrons to give the color pink, frogs were placed inside the cauldrons to obtain only the red, only the blood of the bats. Face powder. The demons made face powder with rotten mud from hell, muds drawn from the hellish wells. They took liquids from metals that flowed from the volcanoes of hell. These liquids were used to make earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and chains. Sexy clothing. I also saw factories of mini skirts, mini sweaters, male and female shorts, sexy and glued dresses, sexy skirt with big cuts in the middle. The demons made these clothes with hella animal hair and infernal insect silks, men's and women's sleeveless shirt, sports shirt too. After the demons finished making all the clothes, they went up to Earth. They inspired their models using clothing manufacturers, and those Satanists and businessmen of the textile industries ordered the workers to produce. The demons returned to hell happy. One of them said, "When these new models of clothing and makeup accessories are made on the earth, every church will use our brands, and so we'll all drive Christians to hell for using what's ours." Satan manifested himself and said, "Good work. It's wonderful how the churches open the doors to worldliness. We come in, and we take their souls away easily. They deliver their souls to us when they let sin into their lives." Satan showed a list of believers on earth. He said, "These believers have to be stopped. They are giving great harm to souls for us. We have to take these men out of our way. The only way is to make them fall in faith. If they deviate, these are dangerous. Those who do not sanctify themselves are already ours. We must not worry about them, if they are condemned, and are friends of sin. I looked at the list and my name was written there. I was the target of the demons. Sex toys. I saw people in hell, men and women who wore plastic prostheses inside their bodies to make themselves beautiful. I saw people in hell from having sex with objects and fruits. I also saw those who bought plastic products from the sexy shop as female consumer products and also male consumers. I saw these products being manufactured in hell. If you are single, do not buy these products. If you are married, do not buy too. They are satanic works. This is not fantasy. They are the means that Satan sought to enter into their lives, possess their bodies, and bring them to hell. This would cause legality for the destruction of their marriages. Those who buy these products and have sex with these accessories are doing sexual intercourse with demons. In a vision I had of the earth while I was still inside hell, I saw a giant crystal ball. I saw evangelical couples using these accessories to spice up their relationships. As I looked around, I saw a demon having sex with a couple. Those objects are the intimate parts of the demons. A few months that couple began to fight and divorced. I say any pastor who says to the contrary of these revelations is being used by the devil. Many pastors here from the United States, speakers of couples have recommended and promoted these fantasies with these objects. They do not have the Holy Spirit. God would never go against His word. God created the man and the woman to satisfy one another with no intermediary. God did not create man and woman, and then create sexual objects as a means for them to feel pleasure. That is evil. I saw a young Christian in hell. He was used by God, but one thing condemned this young man. He had an inflatable doll to which he had sex every day. The truth is that behind this doll there was a demon that hidden in it. This demon had sex with this young man through this doll. What was revealed to me about these things? The demons hide behind every sex object and sex images. Just as demons hide in Catholic images, so do they hide behind sex objects. I saw a man in hell for practicing sex like animals. Then the angel took me out of hell and took me to heaven. As we ascend into heaven, we entered a beautiful place. It was the first time I visited heaven. The angel said, "Our Lord wants to reveal something to you," and left. Vasectomy. Jesus came to me and said, "My son, you are doing a great job on earth. You have never left my direction. There is something, if you do it, you will go out of my way." I said, "Lord, what am I going to do that I'm going to get out of the way?" He answered me, "You did a vasectomy to have no more children. That would be your biggest sin in front of me. You gave up having children because of the fear of having complications. You encouraged your wife to make a tubal ligation and she did. That did not please me. You encourage her to sin against me." 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, "You do not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that dwells in you from God, and that you, not only see them, woe to those who destroy this temple. I will forgive your wife for your innocence, but whoever learns this truth will destroy what I have created. You will not be taken for granted." 1 Company 6:19. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" 1 Company 3:17. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Plastic surgeries. Plastic surgeries and decorations abhor me, no matter how beautiful the woman or the man in appearance. The beauty that pleases me comes from the soul, and from the spirit. I look at holiness. I do not consider physical beauty that attracts the world. He who practices the sin of vanity, to be attractive becomes horrible to me. His heart is stained with vanity, revealing his true interior. The vanity that are works invented from the hands of men. They take away my image and likeness. This sin deforms the home and the woman. Tell all the ministries that you are in, tell everyone that man has no power to transform anyone. I transform? Their roles are to evangelize and not to change. It is I who do the work in the hearts. It is not by force that anyone is forced to walk in my precepts. Judge no one, just preach and prepare the ground for me to work. I will root out the root of the evil of hearts. Use only my word to clean the grounds. Use my word to plant the good seed and regulate. I will give growth. Tell those who evangelize to pray every day, and not to stop walking in my ways. I will make them willing to renounce the world. They have liberated themselves for love, not for obligation. I will work in their hearts. It is necessary for the new converts to fast for me to work in their lives. Anyone who does not know me does not know what is best for them. They walk in any way and they will have only a momentary happiness. Even if they get all the goods of this world, it is not everything. After death, they will take nothing, and will not inherit heaven. Man does not know what is best for his life, for he does not know my truth. They are liberated from sin and condemnation out of love, not out of obligation. I will work in their hearts. After the Lord Jesus showed me my name in the Book of Life, I also saw several names of small church shepherds, famous pastors. I was curious and I asked, Lord, is the name of Kenneth Copeland in the Book of Life? Jesus looked at me and said, no. I said, what about the name of John Hagee, Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn? Jesus said, no. I said, what about Joyce Meyer's name, Rick Warren? The Lord said, my servant, these names are not here. I do not know them as my servants. They are not my brides. I said, Lord, why do they preach their word to millions who go to their services? The Lord said, my son, these men are lovers of money. They use my word to trade. I never told the church to sell my gospel. I said to preach for free to the whole creature. It is written Matthew 19:23-24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They enjoy all their riches and do not remember the poor. It is written in Matthew 19:16-22, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do, that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. For it is written, for I hungered, and ye gave me meat, I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink, I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me, I was sick, and ye visited me, I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungering and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I hungered, and ye gave me no meat, I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink, I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungering or athirst or a stranger, or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it, not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Matthew 25:35-46. Their God is mammon. They have chosen to serve the rich, and not to help the needy. I said, Lord, in the books that they sell by spreading your word? Jesus said, the use of my gospel is pure and spiritual. These books are not spiritual, because my spirit is not in it. Their books are based on human knowledge, hypotheses, vain philosophies. It is a damn gospel that saves no one, for my gospel exhorts to holiness. The biggest problem of being a pastor of a big church is corruption because of money. The larger your churches are, the more money you will get. For those who have enriched themselves by my work, there is still time to save their souls. As long as they are alive, they will be able to repent and abandon their practices, and I will forgive, and if death has surprised them and they are given no time to repent, they will go to hell. Then the Lord Jesus said, go tell the revelations. Do not be silent. Woe to those who doubt, criticize, call you a liar. Woe to him that persecute you for the revelations. When Lord Jesus spoke these words, I was in my bed. It was 7 o'clock in the morning, my wife Akimi at sushi was asleep. I had this rapture at 3 in the morning, and came back at 7 in the morning. I now have another mission in reporting this testimony wherever I go. After the rapture, I went on a missionary journey to Chile, and when I got there I was invited to minister in several churches. Thanks to the Lord Jesus I had received some gifts, and my spiritual authority increased from the moment my intimacy with the Holy Spirit grew. I began to pray several times a day because I wanted to feel the presence of God in my life. The more I prayed I felt joy, peace, and gladness as I sanctified myself more and more, and the anointing fell strongest into my life. Deliverance. I had so much authority that when I made them cry in the churches, most of the church members fell into demonic manifestations. Within the churches, I saw devils of various forms and the angels working within the churches. I realized that the demons roll the bodies of people, and when they found the house empty they entered inside. The demonic possessions did not enter the whole body. I saw people being possessed only in one part of their bodies. This really exists if you have not given up your life completely. There are people who have not yet converted in their hair adornment. I saw devils pinning into the hairs of evangelical women. Women who did not repent from their nails embellishments, I saw devils coming into their fingers. In a service of deliverance, I expelled a demon. He did not leave. I realized that the demon was not inside the woman's body. It was in their hands. I expelled them. Another woman had the demon inside her feet, she was painting the nails of her toes. Evangelical women who were in makeup, I saw demons attached to faces. At that moment I realized that there is partial possession. These possessions are caused by demons 3 to 5 centimeters in length. They only occupied a part of their bodies. I already expelled a mini demon that was inside from the stomach of a brother. It was this demon that caused pain and bleeding. The doctors could not locate the disease, because it was a demon that lodged inside his stomach and was expelled by the power of God. When I speak of these things, pastors say to me, "This is madness. Imagine devils possessing people's hair because of an ink." They do not believe, Satan has blinded their spiritual eyes, according to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See your gift. I have the gift of vision. I see the spiritual world. This special gift I paid a price in prayer, and I have the conviction of what I see is real. I witness drunken people, drug addicts and homosexuals entering the churches, and not getting freed. I see demons stuck in the backs of these people putting a heavy burden upon them. This is proof the leadership has no spiritual authority over the demons. A fallen church without power cannot deliver the imprisoned nor relieve the oppressed. People who were in the ministry and the churches of the gospel of Christ, where I pastor, were freed and touched by the power of Jesus. The devils there felt the weight of God's hand when these people were set free. These same people complain that they have gone to several churches and were still not freed. If the word of God liberates, why does it not work in various denominations here in the United States? What is wrong with the brethren who congregate in these ministries? I am not magnifying myself, for I am only a servant. It is not I who am a great man of God. It is the churches that have lowered themselves on a spiritual level. I only do what the Bible has commanded to be done. If in your city you do not have a God-approved church that has authority from Jesus to free you, you have to do your part, pray, fast, release and sanctify yourself. Politics. Bishop Vylan Connor was my administrative overseer. He fell into demonic manifestations to my surprise. After I took the demons out of him I asked him, "How can a distinguished prelate like you teach theology in various churches?" He told me, "I am involved with politics. I have participated in the lies of my candidate. As his advisor, I did a lot of lying propaganda so he won the elections. For that to happen, we had to lie." He advised me about his campaign. I promised a lot in his name, all for the money. We did nothing we promised. I got involved in scandals, money laundering, no one ever found out, never leaked in the press. Politics is evil. When you get involved, you turn away from the purposes of God. It's a lot of money involved. I have been a spokesperson for many politicians. I have supported their lives by living a life of lies and fabrications. I felt that the Holy Spirit moved away from me, and an evil spirit took possession of me. Today I feel lighter. I will turn away from politics and abandon everything that does not please God, and from now on I make a reconciliation with God, even though I consider myself a Christian. After they saw what the bishop went through in that deliverance, many returned to Jesus. I started going to several churches, picked up the microphone and started to pray, and many evangelical people fell into manifestations with demons. All these churches were ashamed that these events had happened, so I rejected several invitations, not to embarrass the brothers. Until one day the Holy Spirit charged me, something supernatural happened. I had never seen anything extraordinary, my spiritual vision opened, and I beheld a man. His body shone like the sun. I could not fix my eyes, for the glare overshadowed my eyes. If I insisted on looking at this man, I would be blind. My eyes of flesh could not bear so much glory. He was lowering all that brightness of his body. I looked directly at him, but I could not see his face. I could see his face shining, and the outline of his body with a white bush that shone. I knew this man as the Holy Spirit. He told me, "You have to go to the churches. The people have to open their spiritual eyes as I open your eyes. They need to see where they are going wrong. Someone needs to show these people that they need to fix their lives, and you are the best person to prove that they need a real meeting with me. They think they are saved, but they are not. They are possessed. They need to tread the path of truth." After these revelations, I thought to myself, there is no way these people can be saved, if they are possessed. I did not go with my stubbornness. Again the Holy Spirit says to me, "You think you are ashamed of this people," but the Holy Spirit revealed to me saying, "I say to you man, all the churches where you have placed your feet have had results. Those who have been delivered from demonic possession are repairing their lives." After the Holy Spirit's warning, I again rejected the invitation to minister in a church. The next day I was bedridden with pains on my body. An evil being appeared to me at dawn and laughed. I asked, "Who are you?" My wife Akemia was asleep, and did not hear. He said, "I am Satan. I will get you." I asked, "What do you want in my house?" He said, "I will stop you. I hate your ministry of deliverance. I have lost many believers because of you. I'll catch you one day. I'll still win your soul, you are valuable to me. I have promised awards to several demons to win your soul. The devil who could win your soul will win prizes in hell. Are you still going to face me? I am giving you an opportunity to give up the ministry of deliverance. I can give you your reward." I said, "Shut up, Satan, you're a loser. Why are you so worried about me? Are you losing?" And saying this, Satan replied, "It is true, you are a nuisance. For that reason I personally came to you. There are few sorcerers who have seen me, only those of great rank. They long to know me. You have the privilege today. I give you the reward today if you make a pact with me, a blood alliance today." And saying this, I replied to Satan, "You are a liar. In hell, there is no reward. I was already caught up there. I know very well what you do with the souls there. Your subjects destroy souls with all malice. Even the sorcerers and Satanists who do your will, all are in great suffering. Their rewards are the destruction of their spirits. The reward for those who serve you is death." Satan, seeing that I refuse, went on to say, "I can give thee a throne in hell. Thou shalt sit by me and rule with me." I said to him, "Your kingdom is crumbling. It will soon be in the lake of fire." Satan, unconvinced, brought a suitcase full of money. He said, "If you do not want a kingdom in hell, I will give you a kingdom on earth. I can make you famous. I give you fame, wealth and success. You do not have to stop being a Christian, make a pact, and I'll give you that bag of dollars. I'll make you the most famous preacher in America. See how your life is now. You are not recognized by anyone. Although you have many gifts, you are not valued with these gifts. You can go beyond, you will have the best mansions. The great churches will recognize you, even the president will recognize your fame. He will invite you to lunch. You will preach to celebrities, famous and important people. I only ask you one thing, do not work with liberation, just teach the word. Do not pray fervently, substitute prayer for theology. After this pact, you will make lots of money. You will repent and ask forgiveness for your God and still be saved. Look what advantages. This is a marvel." I said, "Go away, Satan." He said, "You have made your choice, so you prefer to live your poor and mediocre life, serving a God who is pleased that his people live in misery. From today, you will have no more peace in your life. The war is declared. I'm already winning." I said, "You're bluffing?" Satan replied, "Then why did you refrain from ministering in the churches? You do not know how to respond. I manipulated your mind, you did not watch. I hid an evil dart and you obeyed, and because of that, I gained permission to touch your flesh. I'm waiting for your big failure to take your soul." I said very loudly, "The blood of Jesus rebukes Satan." He disappeared in the form of a dark smoke. My wife woke up and asked, "Is everything okay?" I said, "I had a spiritual confrontation tonight, I can sleep now." When the day dawns, I tell you everything. Troubles. My son Robert at Sushi turned homosexual, to my sadness. Despite all this, I continue to love my son, my right arm. The elder Carl, who helped me in my ministry, abandoned me. He went to another church and began to persecute me verbally, attacking my ministry. I lost a house, a runaway truck hit my house and killed my son David at Sushi. My wife left me. Our son David had died because of the truck crash. He was my youngest son. I was alone pastoring the church. I went to live at Brother Brad's house. Pastors who wanted to see my defeat mocked me, saying that I did not serve God and that he had abandoned me. I looked at the faces of these mockers and saw themselves transfigured into demons. Their hearts revealed the wickedness of their interiors. Many people began to leave the ministry that God has granted me. I became sad every day and not knowing what to do. That night Satan came to me, where I was staying, at Brother Brad's house. He appeared in my room and said, "You fool, you rejected my proposal, now you are suffering. You refuse my offer, you will die in misery. Your God does not care about you. If he cared, he would not leave you in this situation. He is a good God, and I am evil, despite offering you comfort, kindness, riches." I said, "It's no use mocking me. I'd rather die than make a covenant with you." Satan said, "I'm touching the things you like best. I've killed your son David. I convinced your wife to leave you. I made that driver destroy your house. I made your son Robert a homosexual. You challenged me, now you will suffer the consequences. I am the God of this world. Here is my kingdom, everyone does my will. I send disgrace to whomever I want and give benefits to whomever I want. This world was delivered into my hands, and you are part of my world, you are in my territory, you have to obey what the king sends you." I said, "All right, Satan, you just declared war on me. You can be in control of this world, not my life. Let's see who else can, my God or you. If he is stronger, then he will still kill me and take my soul." Satan made a spiritual screen appear inside my room. On that screen, he showed me a part of hell. He showed me my son David suffering in the flames of hell. Satan laughed sarcastically. I bowed my knees and then said, "Lord, is it true that my son is in hell?" The Holy Spirit has revealed to me not to worry about those who have died, but to bother to seek Jesus. Even so, my anguish was not going away. Everything was confusing for me. Once again, Satan was able to inject a drop of his venom, leaving me in doubt. I complained to God. I committed a sin in questioning. I was ashamed to have rejected the Holy Spirit's command to minister in the churches. I began to run from God because of this sin. I stopped praying. I gave the direction of the church to the missionary Frank to take care of, because of my attitude. I lost the gift of spiritual vision, symbolizing my blindness. I could not see the spiritual world anymore, a veil was put between me and the spiritual world also, I no longer felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. Restoration. I did not accept this spiritual condition. I repented of my mistakes. I asked God for forgiveness also for not obeying the order to minister in the churches. I prayed for my wife's return, and for the conversion of my son Robert. I was sick once more, although I had been in the hospital. The illness was still in me. I returned to my pastoral position even though I was sick. I received an invitation to minister in a church. Even though I was sick, I went anyway. All to please God. On the evening of the third day, I was still sick. 3 days ago, the angel appeared to me and said, "You were brave, you did not reject your mission. You were tried in the fire and approved by God. From today your life changes, evil will not touch you anymore." The angel laughed with happiness and touched my body, my infirmity left. A year later, what Jesus had said that my ministry would fill was fulfilled. My wife came back to me and asked my pardon. My son Robert returned and was converted. Before that happens, God used a financially well-off businessman to give me a bigger house than the one I lost. This man owns several houses, owns a real estate business. My gift of vision came back. I recovered my gift. the presence of the Holy Spirit grew stronger. Deliverance. One day I was doing a deliverance service. Several sisters who painted their hair and nails said to me, "If we look at God, He would free us from our makeup. So far we do not feel like letting go." I said, "You are not yet sensitive to the will and voice of God. Keep praying until you can feel the Holy Spirit and hear His voice." For 3 months, they persisted in prayer and threw away their earrings, necklaces, and makeup kits. This had the effect of terminating the desire of vanity from their hearts. These sisters began casting out devils. I saw with the gift of sight the demons coming out of people and exploding. I had an experience with other sisters. I had them expel demons, although they wear earrings, necklaces, and makeup. They commanded the demons to go out, but they did not go out. Only the freed sisters managed to expel the demons. I want to tell everyone who hears this testimony, earrings, necklaces, lipsticks and the powder of the face is the sign of Satan that is embedded in those bodies who wear them. I went to visit the church of Pastor Peter. Before entering there, a legion of demons came on top of his church. They were dragons pouring fireballs in that place. Those fires came out of the mouths of the dragons. When I got in there, I saw people whirling and people crawling like snakes. The Holy Spirit revealed to me that He was saddened by the sin of the people. In this church, there were brothers who betrayed their wives. There were women who took revenge on their husbands and betrayed them too. They had believers who owed banks and stores, others gave defaults on their own neighbors. Pastor Peter was married for the fourth time, all of that was absurd. The demons deceived the people of that church. They camouflaged themselves and hid within each body. I have seen devils changing preachings of the brethren, telling them to preach destructive heresies. I also saw a brother delivering a false prophecy, out of his mouth come out a ball of black fire. I saw devils coming into a sister's head, changing her mind, making her minister false doctrines. These demons were about the size of a lemon. I saw people being possessed by millions of mini demons. When I began the ministry, the demons tried to mess up the service. They tried to distract people from hearing the word and distracting my focus and my bond with the Holy Spirit. People fell into demonic manifestations. I had to expel those demons. People talked in church or went to the bathroom, others chewed gum. All these people carried a demon on their backs. They were possessed. I neutralized the demonstrations. The demons were paralyzed and immobilized inside the bodies of the people. They could not mess up. Pastor Peter had a demon accompanying him who operated signs. At the end of the service, I began to cast out the demons until the devil tried to embarrass me by resisting my authority. Pastor Peter tried to embarrass me. He laid his hands on a young man that resisted, and the demon in the pastor's life commanded the devil in that young man's life, and he left. I saw him putting his hands on the possessed, and those demons camouflaged themselves inside the people. The demons hid, leaving the impression that they were gone, and the demonized people returned to normal. Other demons left the people, but did not leave the church, and kept walking around the church. The people applauded Pastor Peter who deceived them by taking away the demons quickly, while I did not receive applause, and the demons tried to resist wanting to embarrass me, and with enough hatred of me. The demons wanted to exalt that false pastor, so that the people believe that he is a true man of God, and has more authority than I do. This man does not have the Holy Spirit. He does not free anybody. The demons pretended that they had left the demoniac when he expelled them. When I cast out the demons, they became smoke. People could not see with the spiritual eyes that this false shepherd did not expel anything. Only I who saw the whole deplorable scene of the spiritual world. Until I shouted, with all authority I commanded the demons not to leave the bodies of the people. I sealed those demons so that Pastor Peter did not manipulate anybody else. The demon that accompanied the shepherd could no longer give orders for the demons and other people to leave. Then I ordered those demons to leave. It was a war. I went to expel the legion of demons from those people. The legion was the size of lemons and they gave a lot of work. These minis demons were hiding in people's bodies like legs, knees, ears, hands, arms or feet. It was hard to guess where they hid, even so, I expelled them all. Pastor Peter, not knowing what happened, he did not know that I had sealed the demons with my authority, so he could not drive the demons out and manipulate people with the spirit of deception. He was frustrated and ashamed. The church realized he had no authority. He who tried to embarrass me came out ashamed. He told me that tonight would be his last ministry there. I would never preach in that place again. By the end of the spiritual warfare of that night, people were weeping in relief. My body was tired, because all my energy was gone with that war. When I got home, all the demons I had thrown out appeared around my bed trying to intimidate me. I was calm. I bent my knee and expelled everyone from my room. I learned that Pastor Charles was hospitalized. I went to make a visit and a prayer. He confessed to Jesus, repented of all his deceit, and then died. I saw an angel coming down and gathering up his soul and leading up to heaven. The work that God had in his life was not fulfilled, only salvation was fulfilled. Then I went back to my house, prayed to God that night. Then I had a vision looking up from my roof. I saw my son David in heaven. That sight calmed my heart. The Holy Spirit said, I will pour a great anointing on your life, you will not be the same again. When this anointing falls, many will want to be like you, you will be the mirror of many. My faith increased. I realize that I am not alone, God is with me. After suffering attacks from the demons, my little ministry began to fill with people. Our desire, not only mine, but of every church, is to seek God every day until He comes to fetch His bride and takes us with Him. The air we breathe is to praise the Lord, our breath serves to glorify Him. This form of worship action is normal for us. We read the Word every day, we make many prayers for our own edification. All this became our spiritual need and be part of our spiritual eating menu. Our ideal is to arrive at the spiritual level that Jesus revealed to me when He took me away. Our actions are much more valuable than our words. If people embrace the pleasures of the world, their behavior will change for the worse, and they do not know what they are getting into. After my spiritual eyes opened, I did not stop looking for Jesus. The price I paid was never to watch what does not please God, not to read magazines, newspapers, TV and mundane contents of the media and false prophets. My eyes do not like the pleasurable things of the flesh. It is our duty to maintain the tradition of a true Christian. Do not change what the Bible says and defend the truth to the end. Jesus said that it is only a few years before He will take me home, and He will not have a substitute for me, because everyone else is attached to the world and does not pay the price of prayer and sanctification. Because of my approaching departure, I have a spiritual secret that I will reveal to all pastors and leaders, only to those who wish to have the same spiritual authority that I have. There is no transfer of anointing. That is a lie. It is the deception of Satan. The anointing cannot be passed. It is conquered by your merits before God. If so, I would have given all my authority to the members of my ministry, since I will soon leave. To have an authority, there is a price to pay. I cannot pass the anointing that was granted by the Holy Spirit. Only He who gave me is He who will give it to you too. The secret is to renounce everything. Then pray daily. To have this authority, there is a price to pay. This is a secret that I will reveal to all pastors. Dedicate Sundays and holidays to God and prayer, make night vigils for God, for pastors to dedicate on Sundays and entire holidays to God. The ministry that God gave me is open the whole Sunday, from 9 in the morning until 9 at night, also on the holidays we make vigil. The church has to have night services every day. It's like a hospital, it cannot stay closed during the day, so that patients have availability. During the day we make 2 hours of prayer in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon and 2 in the evening, 3 hours of ministry and 3 hours of praise. This is the secret of spiritual growth of the brethren who congregate with me. They are being delivered from the world and the church is filling, and the signs are happening as proof that God is pleased with us. The last warning that Jesus gave me is this. To all who have experiences in being taken away in the Spirit, woe to those who add to their experiences by claiming Jesus said things when He didn't say them at all. Or adding things in the law of grace or human doctrines. Those who diminish things from their experiences for fear of retaliation. Then there are those who say that they were caught up without being actually caught up by inventing stories. Then those who sell their experiences of rapture to enrich themselves will lose their salvation and their reward. I affirm this testimony is true and real. That all may be released through my experiences. May the glory of God reign in every life that is hearing this testimony. Amen. Source: Evangelist Josephin, Mission of Nations Church, DEFESADAFE 2017.blogspot.com.